Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Well, welcome back, Scott.
Oh, hey there, Mark.
We've been off for a little while and played a encore episode last time. And what have you had going on?
Oh, well, I'm heading overseas, which is a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be teaching a class and leading a short-term and a small team. And it's, we leave on a Wednesday and get there on a Friday. It's like there's a day of my life, an entire day that I will never get back.
Just spending on an airplane.
And the the prospect of that is just almost overwhelming. I mean, it's like, oh, really?
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that my attitude is good and improves.
Yeah. Well, even though we have been gone for a little bit and just maybe not releasing episodes quite as often, this is the 100th time we've done this.
Well, not including the ones that we have re-released, right?
Right, exactly. 100. This is our 100th new episode.
I don't know that I've done very many things in my whole life 100 times.
No.
I mean, that's, I'm almost 100 years old, but not quite. And that's as close as I come. There just are a lot of things that I've never done this many times. So,
yeah.
Congratulations, Mark.
Yeah. Yeah, you too.
That's a milestone.
And I think I'm grateful too. I'm grateful for to you for helping me get this started. And
well, I remember the first few conversations that you know, you were, I want to do something. And I'm thinking, Mark, I got the deal for you.
Yeah.
It's got to be a podcast. That's the thing. So
yeah.
Anyway, hopefully you've enjoyed it. Hopefully it's been helpful to the listeners. And I'm happy with how it's turned out and how it's going. And I really did want, wanted people to hear your voice and your experience. And I think that there's a lot to, a lot to offer. And I'm happy that I, prodded you in all the right directions.
How's that? There you go. And I'm grateful to the listeners as well. I've gotten a lot of really positive feedback. So I'm grateful for that. If there's negative feedback, I haven't got it. So I'm grateful for that too, I guess.
There you go.
In all seriousness, there have really been a lot of blessings to me from doing this. Just people that I would have never thought had any interest in listening to a podcast about coming from a One Right Church kind of scenario. But I'll take it. I mean, I'm glad it's been helpful for people.
I mean, my highlight, how's that?
Yeah.
Is I walked into it. Kind of a crowd and said something and they said, oh, I know you.
Yeah.
And they were like, recognized my voice from the podcast. And I thought, wow, I'm a celebrity.
There you go.
And then you can tell that I don't get much celebrity. So I don't really know how to recognize it when it comes, but it was, that was pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Why don't we just talk about kind of just in review, not review every all 100 episodes, but just, I mean, we've done a lot of different little kind of mini series. We've done different ideas. We've come up with somehow new things to talk about every time. But there have been some recurring themes, kind of, and I think in some ways we talk about something new, and in some ways we talk about the same thing every week. So I thought maybe we could just go over some of those.
So you can't decide if this is really interesting or really boring. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there you go. We'll let the listeners decide, I guess.
Well, the reality is that we, most of life works that way.
Yeah.
Where you end up kind of always things reduced to elemental principles,
Yeah.
Where certain, things work a certain way. And yeah. you can get all kinds of tangents, but they all come back to the way that things actually work. And yeah. I think we're finding that.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've talked about historical documents. We've talked about,
yeah.
you know, the way people dress. We've talked about yeah. how you relate to family. We've talked about all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And it all, they do all kind of reduce back to a few central yeah. things.
Yeah, they do.
And what would you say some of those things are?
Well, the first one that comes to mind for me is just God's amazing grace to that that I did live to adulthood, raise children to adulthood in a place that did not teach me about Jesus, that I didn't. And I should clarify that I'm not saying that in a way that I'm feeling sorry for myself or that I'm the victim or anything like that, but just stating the fact that I didn't, maybe that's a better way to say it, I didn't learn about Jesus. I didn't do that at this place, and for a lot of different reasons, partly because I was told that I was in the right place, I was born in the right, so I didn't feel any need for a savior, really. I thought that I was born in the right place, so I was going to be good. And I just think that it's amazing that someone could live their life in that way. There were times in my life where I took pride in that. I looked down on others because of that. All the things that I recognize are wrong to do, and by God's amazing grace, he still opened my eyes to the truth that I did need a savior, that it didn't matter where I was born, and didn't hold all those things against me because, you know.
That's important.
Yeah.
That's important, I think.
That I could confess those things, that I could see that need, and I had a place. I wasn't just stuck with them. I wasn't just stuck holding them. So he didn't just shine this light on my need without helping me understand what I could do about that. And
well, so, probably even, it really isn't, I mean, I'll just intercept you here.
Yeah.
I don't think it's really your confession that's the wonderful thing about it or
right.
the amazing thing about it. It's really what God would do as you admitted your need, as you admitted kind of the ways that you had been on the wrong path, you know, when you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And really, it is his faithfulness. It's God's faithfulness.
Yeah.
I mean, you're trying to highlight that. I know that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just want to say, even when you say, that I could confess it, even that is also a recognition of God's faithfulness and his willingness to show grace.
Yeah. Yeah, and it just, I mean, the fact that, I'm probably just repeating myself, but it may bear repeating that there is nobody anywhere, even if they are in a place where they think that the church they go to is going to save them, you can change your mind about that. You know, that and that's really what we want people to do. We want people to put their trust in Jesus, not in going to the one right church. And I don't want anybody to think, well, I've done this for too long. I've done it this way for too long. I mean, I did it for 45 years. I stayed there till I was 45. So, God's grace for sure has been just a recurring theme. I hope we've talked about it in all 100 of our episodes.
Well, there's grace in that you can change, and there's grace that enables you to see the light and all the things.
Yeah.
But one of the fundamental things that we've come back to over and over, from my perspective, is the difference between experiencing the grace of God, which is his pleasure, his approval, his satisfaction with you, apart from your effort or work or success, and experiencing the love of God without deserving the love of God.
Yeah.
That's grace, as opposed to the message that you have, routinely, maybe every episode, said, you know, we tried, or I tried, to earn my salvation. I tried to earn God's favor. I tried to do enough good things that God would somehow, you know, overlook the bad things that I did. Yeah. And as you did, as you, you know, recognized that I'm not getting where I need to go by doing all the things, that's allowed you to step back and, as you said, confess your sins and turn your turn the corner and experience God's forgiveness and his pleasure and his grace and his cleansing and all the things. And I think that that's what I would hope you would recognize, or that's what I recognize, that's a little different than this, what you just said, that also highlights the incredible grace that God offers, you know, those who were born in the right church and those who weren't born in the right church.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. That's a good clarification. And it also, I think, ties into the next thing that I had in mind was assurance of salvation. I've told people so many times as I have conversations about the podcast, is it seems like almost every time we end up talking about assurance of salvation when your trust is in Jesus.
And what do you mean by assurance of salvation first?
Yeah, assurance. Well, you just brought up that I would try to work my way, that I would try to do enough good things that God would overlook the bad. And then I've told here many times that I watched people in the same church that I was in doing the same things that I was doing on their deathbeds, terrified, wondering, in tears, I just hope that I've done enough. And that was terrifying to me, because I was looking at people who I thought were doing it better than I was, and they were wondering if they had done enough. And
Had you never asked the question yourself?
Until I saw them doing it. I think I was young enough that I didn't really think about death that much.
You probably had time to get it, you know, balanced out or whatever.
Yeah, I'll be better tomorrow or something. But when I heard them saying that, that just haunted me, and I didn't know what to do with that. And then, because of God's grace that you talked about, and or that we talked about, that he showing me that my assurance, my hope for salvation, my guarantee for salvation is in the work of Jesus and not in the good works that I do. And so I can be sure of that salvation because of what Jesus did. And now I'm not haunted by that anymore, of hoping that I've done enough.
That's what faith is. I mean, faith is trusting in someone else, something outside of you, as opposed to your own self-effort. That's not faith. That's just work, you know? Yeah. And so what you're trying to do is, what you're talking about doing, is trusting in what Jesus has done in your place. And when you're trusting in Jesus, then your salvation and your hope is only as good as Jesus.
Right.
And it's not only as good as you feel, or only as good as you've done today,
right,
or anything like that. And I think that's probably the big divide, is that when you're trusting in yourself, you're thinking that you end up with something that's only as good as you in your worst moments.
Yeah.
And, you know, in my humble opinion, that's just not good enough.
Yeah.
I have too many of those moments.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think, just even thinking about the question you just asked me of, had I ever thought of that before? I think part of the reason why I hadn't and was really faced is another one of our recurring themes that keep coming up, and that is the holiness of God. How much, how perfect and totally different than us he is. I think I grew up with an idea that he was just the very best version of us.
Just or a big version like of
that.
You.
Yeah, just a big version. And that was probably somebody my mom and dad overlooked some things that I did wrong sometimes and let me get by with things. And, you know, I think I just projected that kind of a idea onto my relationship with God. And I had no idea about the holiness of God. Like, when he did reveal to me, I've told the story on here before. My granddaughter was being born, and I just believed that I was in good standing with God because my life had been good. And I believed that if I did good, I would be blessed. And if I didn't, then I wouldn't. And when I realized that that wasn't the case, and I don't know how to explain that other than God just made me realize that that wasn't the case. And I think, and then I read things like the prodigal son coming to himself. It felt like that kind of, or
you had a coming to yourself moment.
Yeah, coming to myself moment. And then when you read in Isaiah about the seraphim and him, Isaiah seeing the throne room and them saying, holy, 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 and Isaiah just being undone, I think he says, that right. He's just undone. That's what I felt like. Like I realized God isn't just a like a really good version of Santa Claus. I kind of had that idea in mind too, but that he was completely holy, that he was something that I needed to fear a lot more than I did. And by fear, I mean revere maybe a lot more than I did. Anyway, I think the holiness of God was something that I didn't think about, that I didn't know about, and that probably allowed me to not ask those questions about, have I done enough? I probably just assumed that I had.
Just assumed that I had.
Yeah.
Well, so one of the ways that I think you get away with that assumption,
yeah,
is that when, well, all of us live a life where we are the central character.
Yeah.
We tell ourselves a story where we're the hero.
Yeah.
And there is this, you know, inherently self-centered version of life that we go through life with. And when we're at the center and God's at the periphery, he's on the outside,
yeah,
looking in, well, that's when he isn't so fearsome. He isn't
right.
So much to be, he can be trifled with when he's on the outside of your life.
Yeah.
He can't be trifled with in the middle. And see, I think one of the fundamental changes, it's almost like your solar system flip-flops,
right,
from having you at the center and God in orbit around you,
right,
to God being at the center, and all of a sudden your life reorganizes and orbits around the Lord. And when that kind of thing happens, that's I think what you're describing,
yeah,
when you're,
yeah,
talking about the holiness of God, is that all of a sudden you realize that you had been somehow thinking that he was, you know, he was,
yeah,
revolving his existence around you or around the church. You know, various times probably you had various flavors on that.
Yeah.
But I think that it's important for everyone to recognize that unless you deal with God on his own terms,
yeah,
you don't deal with God at all.
Right.
We do not set the terms. We don't set the terms in church. We don't set the terms in our families. We don't set the terms in our, you know, best moments or our worst moments.
Yeah.
God sets the terms. And that's really what you're talking about when you're talking about the holiness of God, or you could probably say the righteousness of God or the justice of God,
yeah,
that God is somebody to be respected and somebody that you must deal with on his own terms,
yeah,
and not yours. And so I think, you know, I don't know how much that,
yeah,
my little sermon here has been a recurring theme, but I think that it's important, even if this is the first time somebody hears,
yeah, yeah, for
to
sure,
say that you really have to deal with God on his terms, and you don't get to define the way it works.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's great. And I definitely was for most of my life up to that point. And part of that came from the teaching that we had, that really, as you were describing that, I thought, yeah, the church was the center. Mm-hmm. The church was the center, and I was to be as close to that as I could be. And then, yeah, God was in the picture, but he was just orbiting around. I don't know how we convinced ourselves of that, or how I convinced myself of that, but...
Well, see, the thing is that you don't need to convince yourself of that.
Yeah.
That's how you start out.
Yeah.
That's how you're programmed. I mean, in some respect, you think about the way that the Earth orbits around the sun.
Yeah.
And all of us looking at the way that works, we right. look at it and say, we're the center, and look at the sun
yeah.
go across the sky,
right.
you know, how it moves. And we, you know, we naturally have this self-focus. And so I think it's important mm. that, you know, you realize, yeah, everybody's going to have that. You didn't convince yeah. yourself of it. What is amazing is you have to be convinced otherwise
yeah.
that God is holy and just and right and not to be trifled with.
Yeah.
And so he sent his son.
Yeah.
And he, in fact, so much so that the only way to really exact justice was to have his son step in and take the justice that you deserved.
Yeah.
And, you know, that not only preserved God's justice, but his love
yeah.
and his mercy. And again, he's not to be trifled with, but he is also a God of love and mercy.
Yeah.
And so he is completely
yeah.
Different than us, like you said, and he is at the center, and he demonstrated that. And really the thing that flips is when you realize that it's Jesus that makes the flip, that
yeah.
when Jesus enters the picture and does what the Bible says he does, in other words, representing you before God and changing the equation,
yeah.
giving you the merit and the goodness and the righteousness, all the things that you can't get by your own effort,
yeah.
when he does that for you, that essentially, you know, flops the poles so that now he's at the center and you're,
yep.
you know, orienting your life around him, and
yeah.
that's what it really means to have faith.
Yeah, oh, that's great. And then the next thing I have on here is making secondary things primary, which is something that I think is still a challenge for me. I don't know. There's just some, I feel like I'm just pre-wired for some of these things. And
everyone's
like,
pre-wired
like
for this.
Said, yeah.
You know, I love that you think it's just you.
Well,
but
I can only talk about it from my perspective, right?
So, as far as you're concerned, it's all
yeah,
you. Yes,
yeah,
I understand.
Yeah, but you do bring up a recurring theme on this podcast. I mean, we shouldn't ignore it, that there's been so many times that you've said, that's not just a thing where you came from, Mark, you know? And there are some of them where I do know that, but there are some of them where I was so isolated to it that I really did think
that you're genuinely surprised that other people
yeah,
might have that thought.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
well, I think some, you know, the thing that I would say is that everybody, for instance, comes pre-wired to keep God at the exterior of
yeah.
their life. Everyone comes pre-wired, and we just do not get right what is primary and what is secondary, and
yeah.
we gravitate to the less threatening
yeah.
secondary things. Everyone does that.
Yeah.
I think what the difference is, and kind of why we're doing this podcast, is that I think that the church plays a role in
yeah.
helping people, you know, keep the secondary things in the primary space.
Right.
You know, in other words, I think that you can have doctrine, you know, the doctrine or the teaching does that.
Yeah.
The social structures do that.
Yeah.
And I think the way that people talk about God and reality and life and death and all the things that you would talk about, that
mm-hmm.
does help you, you know, keep God in the periphery or keep secondary things primary or any
yeah.
of those things. And so, yeah, it's hardwired into us, but it can be helped by your religious system, let's
yeah.
say. And sometimes it can be confronted by a different religious system or
yeah.
by
yeah.
the scriptures, better yet.
Yeah, yeah. And that's probably the important thing to say about it is making a secondary thing can be a good thing, but it just can't be in the primary position. And
right.
and we need to make sure that people are looking to their Bible to see if what they believe is primary is really primary. And if what you believe is primary is not Jesus, then you don't have it right. Like Jesus needs to be the primary thing, and then you can have secondary things. But my experience was, especially by my generation, everything that was talked about was tradition and our ministry that we had at our church and the authority and the power that they had and all these other things. And it, at least by my generation, Jesus was gone. I mean, I've heard that thing where you can have Jesus, you can know the gospel, and then because you know it, you don't teach it to the next generation. And then pretty soon, one or two generations, and there's no gospel anymore. And I feel like that's where I never, if the gospel was ever taught there, I never heard it.
The gospel meaning?
Yeah, the good news about Jesus, the things we've been talking about that Jesus took on flesh and for us lived a perfect life, sacrificed his life on the cross and was raised to new life again and, you know, paying that debt that we could never pay and reconciling us to himself and we'll come again one day and we need to be looking for him. We need to be following him. We need him to be primary in our life, not some secondary. I mean, who cares what power and authority a previous teacher had in your church if you're not talking about Jesus? Do you know Jesus? If you don't...
Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me.
Yeah.
And just a verse what we heard yesterday in church, but to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but born of God.
Yeah.
And I think that that's, you know, that's the primary thing.
Yeah.
Is it really you get right with God by faith in Jesus, and he'll make sure that you belong to him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. We've been 100 episodes. It's taken us about 3 years. We've been doing this for about 3 years.
We were young.
Yeah. I probably had more hair, a little bit, but there are still, you know, ongoing challenges over there. We've been gone for, we left Followers about 6.5 years ago, probably.
Okay.
And, I mean, there's still separation from family that is super difficult to deal with on a daily basis, but, you know, we've lost family members. We've lost parents. We've lost good friends and not been able to, like, grieve with the family. I've lost a younger sister. Can't grieve with the family. We've gained new family members. We've gained a granddaughter that we've never met and have two others along with our daughter and her husband that we just don't have a relationship with currently. And so we're continually praying and trusting the Lord with for his amazing grace to open their eyes in the same way that he opened mine and maybe do a work in their heart the way he did in mine. We talked about it a little bit before, when you make a statement like, open their eyes like he opened mine, when you're the person hearing that or that you're saying that about, that can give you a feeling that is not great. I mean, I've had that feeling before where people were telling me, you know, you just don't understand yet. And
when you get it, you'll be...
When you get it, yeah. And so I don't mean that statement in that way. My daughter who is there is half the age that I was when the Lord showed me that he was orbiting around me instead of me orbiting around him. How about that?
Okay.
So I don't mean it in any kind of condescending way or superiority or anything like that. We just trust the Lord with it and want him to do a work in their heart so that they can put their trust in him for their salvation. So, and we have had good experiences. We got to reconcile with Cindy's dad, for example.
Right.
I think we just probably heard that episode last week. So that gives us a lot of hope for getting to have that same reconciliation with our kids and grandkids someday.
Well, see, so. There are two things related to that I think I noticed that as we were talking about what we would say here. One is that there is a part about a relationship with God, mm-hmm. or your theology or what you believe about God that is really important,
yeah.
and is ultimately eternally important.
Yeah.
In other words, you will go to heaven or not based on, and you will have an eternal relationship with God or not based on what you believe about Jesus. So your yeah. doctrine or your theology is really important. But one of the things that I guess I have maybe learned in talking about this 100 times now,
yeah.
is that does play out socially, or it plays out in relationships.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're describing really two things. I mean, mm-hmm. one is you really do hope and pray that the people you love will have a relationship with God that is life-giving and meaningful,
yeah.
like you have. And you're also hoping and praying that the social or relational barriers that
yeah.
that are erected to protect these other, you know, so-called theological things or church things,
yeah.
that those barriers will be torn down and there will be restored relationships between people. And I think that, you know, thinking about those two things when you're thinking about the One Right Church, sometimes One Right Church is all about, you know, doctrine, and we're special
yeah.
with our doctrine. Other times, it's more relational, and there's pressure relationally.
Yeah.
And we're special with our relationships.
Yeah.
And what we'd really, well, I guess what we're hoping and praying for is that there will be a reckoning, you might say, with the centrality of God in the person of Jesus, and there will be this sort of dissolving of these relational barriers
yeah.
that are built on fear and history and all the things, and that the Lord would be pleased to restore people to himself and restore people to,
yeah.
you know, you and to their family.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be a great day. But we're looking forward to that. And like I said, another example of God's grace is that we get to see the evidence of getting to do that with Cindy's dad. So that just helps carry us
on.
Yeah, it gives us hope for future reconciliation. So one of the other things I think about through this is just what have I learned about myself, just even as I'm talking. Sometimes I say things that I don't realize I believe, but maybe in response to a question of yours, and then I'll say something and then I'll think, is that really what I thought? Or really, you know, and there are just these things that I feel like are, and sometimes you just look at me with big eyes and don't even know how to respond to them.
I got nothing.
Yeah. But I have learned a lot, and I have realized one of the things, for example, is when I have discussions with people about important things now, I just have in the back of my mind this fear that disagreement is going to equal division, that it's going to be rejection. We can't talk anymore because we don't agree, because of where we came from. And that's not true. You know, that's not I mean, there may be cases where that's true, but it's not just a...
It's not necessarily true.
It's not necessarily.
It doesn't have to be that
yeah,
way.
Right? Yeah, but that's just built into me from my
it's
experience.
Habit. Not just habit, but it's, you know, you learned that.
Yeah.
Because that's yeah. what happened
yeah.
over and over and over. It's
yeah.
what, you know, I think if you've asked me about surprises, I mean, one of the things that I sort of smile when you always say, I used to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, I've never known you
yeah.
that way, but that's why that's there, is because you learned that and did
yeah.
it and had
yep.
it done to you. And now, can there be another way? Is a reasonable question, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing that I just thought of is, that's kind of an ongoing fear or something that you just, like, I feel like when I'm in a public place in Oregon City, a Fred Meyer or just a shopping, I feel like my head is just on a swivel and I'm always looking to see if there are followers there, you know? And I mean, Cindy doesn't like to go to Oregon City. She doesn't want to have that interaction, potential confrontation. I don't know what I don't know if fear is the right word. I've talked to some people that that love it and want to see people. I did get, I wouldn't say I have a fear of it or don't want to see them, but I have an awareness. My head's on a swivel all the time, like I said. But I did get an opportunity to talk to a friend the other day, an old friend, still at Followers, and saw him in Home Depot and went up and talked to him. We could mention there's a video that's out about some people that went out to Followers and recorded the whole thing, and we can talk more about that later. But in response to that video, I just wanted to tell him, I just told him, hey, for the record, not everybody who has left Followers, you know, necessarily agrees with the way that was done. And I just wanted him to know that, because we do this podcast, and I don't, yeah, I just wanted to make that clear. And his response was, well, just so you know, not everyone who is still at Followers agrees with how we handled that either. And it was a perfectly cordial conversation. I don't think that conversation could have went much better than that. And we talked
probably not
about a little bit, you know, some more things and went on. But I doubt that I've ever been in a store in the last 6 years and another follower's been there without me knowing. Like, I think I have an awareness. I don't know. But yeah, that's just there. And I don't know why. Part of me wants to be able to just go on with my life and not have to be aware of that. But I just don't think that's realistic at this point.
Some of it's fairly natural too. Yeah. I mean, some of it has to do with your history there.
Yeah.
But I mean, when we go back to Montana on vacation to see Marcia's family,
yeah,
we go into Costco and yeah, I expect I'm going to see someone from my high school. I mean, there were 33 people in my whole school. And the funny thing is I have seen them.
Yeah.
And in a different state.
Yeah.
And so now I expect that every time.
Yeah.
And the reality is I also expect him to be about 30 years younger. And so it doesn't help either.
Right.
But no, I think that's natural. And I think that would be wonderful. Even as you were saying that, I think it would be really, really fun and really just wonderful to have conversations like you had there. And I think that would be... That would be great if we could somehow orchestrate that rather than just bumping into people and just to have those conversations and not yell at each other, maybe like the video had, but just have a friendly conversation that says we all are, you know, on the same path seeking to be right with God, and let's talk about how that happens. I think that would be, you know, if we could disagree without it being terrible, I think it would be really...
Yeah,
a useful conversation.
And that would take work from both parties, right? I mean, that would take effort. Maybe I should say that. That would take some effort on both sides because all the same things that I'm sharing, I know it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one of everybody at Followers that was like this, but there's going to be a defense built in. There's like a defense mechanism, like I said earlier, when someone... You're going to be thinking that they know something that I don't. And it's partly true because we have 6 years of experience or more outside of Followers, where everybody that's there only knew what we knew.
So you know some outside things that people didn't know, and you have to admit that. And so do people talking to you.
But we could have those conversations in a polite way. It doesn't have to be condescending and, you know, superiority or anything like that. But on the other hand, they would have to come in wanting to talk about it, or there's no point in doing it.
Well,
right.
I think that's probably the case on both sides where we'd have to be, you know, curious about, you know, their position, and they'd have to be curious about yours. Yeah. And I think that, you know, a little curiosity goes a long way.
Yeah.
And that would be really, I think, exciting to have those conversations.
Yeah. Yeah, it would. And that was kind of the last thing I had on here, is that it's just, the struggle of how to know what to do, how to know how to communicate with people who are still there. We just have this thing. I know what they think about me. I think I know what they think about me.
That's the thing, isn't it?
I think I know what they think about me, and they think they know what I think about them. And
I was looking back to see if you were looking back to see if I was looking back to see if you were looking back at me.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So I'm glad you cleared that up. But yeah, it's just hard to know. And that's why we do this. It's why people go out there. I want to assume the best for any attempt that anyone makes to talk to people at Followers or any other group like this. That they want to help. They want to do something. They want to tell them about Jesus. They want to repair these relationships. I think that's what happened. We've mentioned this video. There's a video on YouTube of a group of people that went out to Followers during a service, and they videoed it, and it got really confrontational, and it got really loud and angry and back and forth. And I don't want to have conversations like that.
Well, we've just made it a point not to. I mean, we want to be respectful, and we want to do our best to express ourselves without anger, animosity, and just continually kind of hold forth what we think is true and right and good. And hopefully people recognize that it's an attempt anyway to be respectful and to be helpful. We really want people to recognize the beauty of what God has done for us in Jesus. And if we can do that in a in the way that Jesus did, he's blessed are the pure in heart. We want to do it purely. Blessed are the meek. We don't want to, do more than that than we should. Blessed are the pure in heart. I mean, we want to come into it with doing it the way that Jesus would, kind of instruct us to. And so hopefully that will be one of the things that God will use to help people enjoy Jesus more. So that's why we're doing it.
Yep. That's why we've done it 100 times now.
So, boom, 100 times.
Well, since we've done some recurring themes on here, we thought we'd use a song that we've done probably the most.
Okay.
There are only 100 or so songs to choose from in this hymnal. So, 100 episodes.
We haven't done.
We're gonna do some repeats. Yeah. No. The Solid Rock is one that we've done many times, and I think it's important. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And I think that's enough said about that.
Enough said.
Yep. So, well, thanks for doing this 100 times, Scott.
Happy 100.
Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.